Time for a Stain Gang podcast. Time to talk football with Coach Rich Renner at Midwestern State University. Midwestern State 2-2 to start the season. Got a big game coming up in South Texas at Texas A&M Kingsville, and we'll talk more about the Javelinas in a moment. But unfortunately, kind of want to review last Saturday. Permian Basin, they stopped you on your opening drive, ended up missing a field goal, and from that point on, it was pretty much all Falcons. When you've had a chance to kind of review the game on film now, what's kind of your impression of what you've seen on film?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, I think our kids gave really great effort, you know, on both sides of the ball. I thought they, you know, played their hearts out, you know, to a certain degree. You know, they obviously we've got some things we got to work on and get better. We've got to get the ball moving and get it, put it in the end zone and score points. And defensively, we've got to get our back end corrected, as well as our run fits with the linebackers and the D-line and the safeties. And so those are the things that that were obviously glaring to me. But, you know, I didn't feel like the kids quit. I didn't feel like the kids gave up. I thought they battled to the very end. And, you know, we had some adversity with losing our starting quarterback. And then, obviously, our backup quarterback came in, and then our third-string quarterback came in. And so I thought we saw some positivity of you know, of that, you know, not totally just, you know, losing hope once Sean went down. And hopefully he's going to be better. We'll see when the MRI results and all that stuff come back. Hopefully that we'll get that pretty soon. But nevertheless, you know, the glaring part is we've got to be better as coaches, and we've got to do a better job execution of the play called or plays called and be able to, like I said, put the ball in the end zone.
I mean, some of the credit belongs to Permian Basin, because it seemed like, especially defensively, that defensive line, they were impressive on Saturday night.
They were. I mean, they were very well coached, and they had a lot of good athletes and players, and we knew that going into it, that they were very talented. They've got, you know, obviously a quarterback that can throw the deep ball. They've got athletic receivers that can catch. And so, you know, that was our goal, not to give up the deep ball, which we gave up, you know, a couple of them, which is obviously less than what they normally are averaging. So I was proud of our DBs in that sense. But, you know, we dropped three interceptions. We couldn't get off the field on third down. And then
that was a big stat in the game, is their third down conversions.
Yes, sir. And so I just think that those are things that we have to continue to work on and get better at. And you can't win many ball games only scoring 3 points. So even though we weren't great on defense, you know, we still got to be better on offense as well, and we've got to be able to execute and get the ball in the end zone.
So what are you? How do you get better on offense?
Well,
what do you see?
I think that, you know, we just got to get better with our execution. You know, we every time we got across the 50-yard line, we shot ourselves in the foot. You know, whether it was a false start, whether it was a sack, whether it was, you know, one guy getting beat, you know, in the run game, that guy ended up making the tackle. And again, give credit to them, because they competed and they had a great defensive line. But also too, you know, we've got to make sure that we use our spacing in the passing game and you know, exploit some of the things that, you know, Permian Basin was doing that we probably didn't capitalize on. And then obviously we've got to not put ourselves in a third or second and long situation where we've got to, you know, get positive yards on first down and win the first down battle. And then obviously, you know, get to a third and manageable or a third and short situation so we can continue to keep the drive going. And I just felt like we were getting behind the sticks too much with, you know, a breakdown here and a breakdown there. So, again, you have a false start on a first 10, and then all of a sudden it's first and 15, and say you only get 3 yards on first down. So now it's second and 12, you're behind the sticks. Okay, and now if you get an incomplete pass, it's third and 12. Well, it's hard to overcome that. There's not many of those pass calls that you can call, you know, and be successful at that. So that's why I'm saying that you have to be ahead of the sticks and on the downs by getting those positive yards and putting yourself in position to have a higher success rate or possibility of having success.
You mentioned the injury suffered by your starting quarterback, Sean Jastrup, and we saw him leaning on crutches at the end of the game. So it certainly doesn't look promising that he would be available for Kingsville, though, as you say, you still don't know the results of the test.
You know, he definitely won't be ready for Kingsville. I mean, I think everybody knows that we wouldn't put a kid out there that's not ready to go and not knowing his knees, you know, obviously in pain and obviously still swollen. And so we're definitely not going to, you know, he won't be on the trip to Kingsville. But, you know, I hate that for him, because he's a great kid and he's a coach's son and, you know, and he's a leader of that offense right now through four games. and that takes a lot away from us. But we still got, you know, Matthew Duncan. We still got Andrew McNabel. We still have, you know, other guys that that can step up and need to step up and been waiting for their opportunity. And unfortunately, here's their chance.
So it looks like it's going to be either Duncan or Knabel. We saw both of them play in the game on Saturday.
Most definitely. And
have you made that decision, or is it still to be determined?
It's still to be determined. All week long, we're going to go through practice, and they're going to compete back and forth, and we'll see who comes out on top on Friday and Saturday when we play the game. But both of them are capable. Both of them I could see playing in the game.
I was going to say, is there a chance we would see both of them in the game?
I would see definitely a high chance you'd see both of them in the game, and which is good. I mean, I think both of them are well-deserving. Both of them are capable, and both of them, like I told you, bring, you know, something different to the table.
Can you break that down a little bit more? What are Duncan's strengths? What are Knabel's strengths?
Yeah, I think Duncan's strengths, he's a thicker kid, a little bit taller, has a little bit more ability to run the football downhill, you know, because he's a bigger body. He's probably got a little bit of a stronger arm, but he's a lefty. So, you know, things a little bit change with the lefty versus a righty just because of the way they like to throw the ball either one side or the other, or, you know, excuse me, where they're looking, in their progression. But then you've got Andrew, which is, you know, he throws a touchier ball, you know, not as hard, but he throws a better, deeper ball than Duncan does, and Andrew is getting better. Obviously, he's probably a little bit more mobile than Duncan is, but obviously is not as big. He's not as tall, so therefore, you know, when D linemen that you face put their hands up, or you know what I mean, that he's got a little bit more vision restrictions than he would if you're a little bit taller. And so, you know, so again, there's different things that they bring to the table where, you know, you as an offensive coordinator, you have to adjust and you have to game plan accordingly, because not everybody can run the zone read if they can't run, or they can't run the quarterback power or the quarterback ISO or the quarterback, you know, whatever the case may be that you want to run that play. If they're not capable of doing it.
You got Texas A&M Kingsville coming up this week, and their quarterback was the Lone Star Conference Offensive Player of the Week, and they're playing really well. After losing their first game of the season, they've reeled off three straight wins, coming off a 56-21 win over Sol Ross, and they're scoring nearly 30 points a game.
They are. They're very talented. Coach Salinas has done a great job. Head coach Salinas / AD, which I don't know how he's pulling that off. I mean, he's a miracle worker, but you know, obviously he's done a remarkable job there at Kingsville, resurrecting that program and building it up, you know, year in, year out. They get better and better, and they are. They're scoring points, and they're winning football games. And any time those things happen, you have that, that confidence and that belief in each other, and that cohesiveness just gets stronger and stronger. And then you find ways to win ball games, you know, that you probably shouldn't, kind of like they did against Permian Basin. And they did an unbelievable job coaching that game as well, and beating Permian Basin and taking it to them, and jumping out on them 17-0, and then holding on 20-13 there at the end with an interception in the end zone. But it's going to be a battle. You know, I mean, obviously, if you know, we have to score points to have a chance to win the ball game. But in any game, it's not just Kingsville or anybody else, and they've got a really good defense. Their defense flies around. They're athletic, and you know, it's going to be a big challenge for our offense as well as our defense, having to keep them out of the end zone and play better on third down so we don't get in a situation like we did Permian Basin.
And they've been really good on third down this year.
They have.
On both sides of the ball.
Yes, sir. They have. And that's a big difference.
And the other thing is they take good care of the football. They've got – I think they've thrown three interceptions all year. They haven't fumbled this year.
Wow.
So – it's going to be tough to take the ball away from those Hogs.
It is. They do a great job of ball security. And again, we've got to do a great job of causing turnovers and not giving it to them. Like I've said each week, you know what I mean? I mean, turnovers make a huge difference. And they're playing the game like you're supposed to. You know what I mean? Not turning the ball over, like you said, causing turnovers, getting off the field on third down, or getting the first down on third down and keeping drives going. And those are the things we're missing as a team.
Yeah, just – to put numbers to it, on third down, they're converting almost 52% of the time on third down, holding the opponent under 40% on third down. So they're doing it. They're as you were talking about earlier, they're staying on schedule.
Yes, sir.
And they're, as I mentioned a moment ago, their quarterback, Teague Settall, he was the LSC offensive player. He's completing better than 64% of his passes this year.
And they do a great job of putting him in situations where they are high percentage throws, whether it's a quick pass to the running back in the flare, or it's a quick out, or it's a slant, or where they're not putting him under situations where he can't, where he's going to turn the ball over in a sense. And I think that's where we got to do a better job with our quarterbacks as well. And again, being ahead of the chains and the downs, so that we can be more successful on third down.
Defensively, what challenge do they present to you?
You know, defensively, obviously they're very physical up front. You know, their offensive line are all back. Their running back runs really, really hard, and he's a downhill runner, and he's a powerful runner, physical runner, and they do a great job in the run game. I mean, they pride themselves in running the football, and that's what we have to stop.
And that helps their defense out too, right? And I think they're keeping the football about 33 minutes a game. So that's seven more minutes that they've got the football than the opponent.
Most definitely. And so that's why we have to get off the field on third down, and we have to stop the run and give our offense those chances to touch the ball.
What's the morale of the team after a 2-2 start in that home loss on this past Saturday night?
You know, the morale is really good. You know, obviously, you know, anytime you lose a game, all the things that players and coaches feel that are – things that need to be adjusted or corrected pop up. You know, winning covers up a lot of problems. And anytime you lose, then the problems kind of boil up to the top or kind of fester to the top. And so, you know, there's some things that we have to change. And it's like, the definition of insanity. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results, then, you know, obviously that's not going to happen. So we've got to tweak some things. We've had a great discussions through the week, and we've modified some things on practice and what we're doing, and it's been really, really good. And so again, I think the morale is really good. The kids are hungry. They really want to win. They really want to do well. We're not expecting to be in this situation at 2-2 in the first four ball games of the season. And we felt like we were better than that. And hopefully we can show that on the field and in the win column Saturday night.
It's still really early in the conference campaign, but there's four teams that are 2-0. Central Washington, Kingsville's one of those teams, Angelo State's one of those teams, and we'll see Angelo State here in the not-too-distant future. And Western Oregon is also 2-0, and I'm guessing Western Oregon's kind of the surprise of that group?
I think they are. I don't know. Obviously they've beaten
They beat West Texas last Saturday.
West Texas and Saul Ross, and so they've had two really good wins. And the West Texas game obviously was close, 24-16. But going up there is always a challenge. And again, this conference is very tough, and it's kind of like the NFL. There's not really a other than probably Central.
There's
Washington.
No predicting what's going to happen from week to week.
That's exactly right. And when you're dealing with kids that are 18 to 22 years old, then it's a crapshoot. So again, you just never know. It's. There's a lot of good teams out there, and there's, like I said, you look at the other teams that aren't 2-0, and any of those guys can beat anybody any day either, or any day or any game as well. It's a tough league, and we're gonna see how it plays out, and it's the team that continues to play, like you were talking about, consistently and doing those little things to be successful with the third down conversions and with scoring points and playing great defense and special teams that are going to win.
A couple of interesting matchups this week in the conference. Not only is Midwestern State at Kingsville, but Angelo State's at Permian Basin. That could be a really good football game.
Yeah, it should be. Angelo is playing better, and which is good. And I think Permian Basin, again, is up and down, so you just never know. But they're very, very talented, and I know Coach McCullough is going to have that team ready to go as well. And so so that's going to be probably the, marquee matchup,
right,
for the week. I don't know, you know, the other ones.
The only other matchup this week is Central Washington at Eastern New Mexico, which that could be an interesting game because, as we dealt with a couple of weeks ago, they got to figure out a way to stop that triple option.
Most definitely, and I think that, you know, they struggled last year trying to stop them, and they're playing in Eastern,
right,
in Portales, and Portales has had a week, you know, bye week before they're playing Central Washington. So, you know, Coach Kelly Lee does a great job, him and his staff, with that offense and with that team. And so I think that that's going to be a good matchup as well. Not that Central Washington shouldn't win the game, but it's good. They're definitely going to give them a run for their money. And so those that will be another key matchup.
You got a long trip to Kingsville, but probably better to play them in October than in early September.
You know, you're right, but, you know, we're used to the heat here in Wichita Falls, so it's not like it's something that is a big deal.
No, there's something even more stifling about it in Kingsville.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
But it's a night game, you know, and so at night it's not as bad. You know, the weather is you know what I mean, is nice, and the wind is blowing, and you know what I mean? It's a beautiful evening. It's a great – to me, it's great football weather.
And I always think that – Kingsville, it's a pretty nice environment to play college football.
You know, it is.
It's a historic stadium. Mm-hmm. It's not the most modern stadium in the Lone Star Conference, but there's a lot of history there in Kingsville. They've played a lot of great football over the years in Kingsville.
Most definitely. And a lot of Pro Bowlers have played on that field, so it is nice.
It's going to be a fun weekend for Midwestern State football, hopefully getting back on the winning track. Thanks for listening to the Stain Gang podcast. We'll be back next week with head coach Rich Renner. Good luck in Kingsville.
And go Mustangs.